Let's go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And well, as we read the next few verses, we'll see that the Gentile churches do seem to be following Paul's advice in these matters. Remember, Paul and this company traveling with him are moving through Macedonia. They're moving toward Corinth. They have been collecting this special offering from the other Gentile churches. So far, they've gone through Galatia. They've gone through Macedonia. And now they're moving toward the churches of Achaia. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 18 reads, "And we are sending along with him," that is, along with Titus, "the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, we have he was chosen by the church to accompany us as we carry the offering." Now again, Paul himself is not carrying the offering, but this collection of people that have been coming from the various churches, they're the ones actually carrying the money. Moving on, it says, "We administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help." So the impression we get here is that as Paul and this company are traveling through Galatia and Macedonia, and as they're making now their way through the churches of Achaia, this little group is growing as representatives from the different churches are joining up with them. And it seems as though the churches are following Paul's advice here. They're collecting the money each week. Then when Paul and his company arrives, they will select a representative from the church to accompany this gift to Jerusalem. The people can go straight to Jerusalem or they can travel along with Paul, but Paul himself is not going to handle the money directly. Good advice. Wise counsel. For a couple of reasons. First, it's a matter of being above suspicion. Being above accusation. Not having direct access to the money. If you remember, the Judaizers were looking for reasons to be critical of Paul. Paul's being careful not to give them anything. A second reason why this advice is so very important is as this collection gets bigger and bigger, as more and more churches are contributing to it, having a larger group of people accompany the gift to Jerusalem just makes good, plain common sense. You know, it's a question of safety and security. Now, Paul didn't have an armored truck, but he's carrying a large sum of money. And people all around the Gentile world are probably aware of this. Paul has been advertising in all the churches this collection that they want to take. And so, as people from Galatia, Macedonia, and Achaia are hearing about this, they know that Paul and his company is carrying a large sum of money. I can just think of someone saying, you know, that little road between Berea and Athens, it's kind of like, it's kind of open out there. We could easily get this money from Paul. And Paul's probably being aware of that. So again, it seems pretty wise if you're carrying a large sum of money to have a larger group since they didn't have the armored truck. Verse 20 and 21, Paul says next, "We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." Now, we've been told before, you know, we shouldn't do things for the eyes of men, but rather for the eyes of the Lord. But here's a situation where Paul is saying, listen, we do want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but in this case, we want to do what is right in the eyes of men as well, especially when it comes to handling money. Now, we may all be honest and trustworthy people, but it's, I think, good sense for some things, especially with money, that we always remain above question, above suspicion, and very careful. Most churches, including our own church, has lots of regulations and strict rules about the handling of money. In fact, at our church, we have a team of people, and they work together as a team. We don't want people all by themselves. They work together as a team, count the money and to deal with the money and to handle the money. It's not that we don't trust each other. We do trust each other. But it's a matter of being responsible in the handling of the Lord's money, again, both in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And also for most churches, like this one as well, there's a lot of controls over the spending of money and who can write checks. I cannot write a check for this church. That's not my ministry. We have other people that we have entrusted that, and we work together as teams, and again, all these things are done, especially when handling financial matters, so that it's done correctly in the eyes of the Lord and also in the eyes of men. One more thing that we need to keep in mind, too, is that the monies that are collected indeed are the Lord's money, and so we need to handle the money with that in mind. So Paul continues to travel toward Macedonia, and he continues his description of this. Let's look on now, verses 22 and 23. Paul says, in addition, we are sending with them our brother. So this is like the second individual that is being mentioned here. We are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. So these people that are joining up with Paul as Paul's little group gets bigger and bigger, these are representatives of the churches, and they're participating in this offering for the honor of Christ. Paul wants the believers there in Corinth to be ready to receive this ever-growing group of people who are on their way to Corinth, handling the money there. Paul also anticipates that there may be a representative from Corinth who will join up with this group as the money continues to make its way toward Jerusalem. Paul tells us in verse 24, therefore show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. And this is the second time Paul has made this very important connection between demonstrations of love and this special offering. If you recall, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, Paul says, I'm not commanding you. In other words, Paul was commanding that they give to this offering, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. So both in the collecting of this money and in the receiving of these brothers who are coming, these were to be done in love. You know, our acts of giving are indeed acts of love. And if we claim to love, we should also be willing to give. James makes this point so very well in his letter to the churches. In James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, he writes, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can that faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Again, if we claim to love, we will be willing to give. For this giving is a genuine demonstration of our love. Just wishing someone well without giving to their real needs is like faith without any works. We're next going to look at the first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's really a continuation of the basic mechanics of this offering to the churches. And this is an example where the chapter divisions probably aren't where they need to be. The first five verses of chapter 9 really continues the theme begun there in chapter 8. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read the whole section for you. And then we're going to go back and share what seems to be Paul's main concern here in this section. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 1 through 5 reads like this. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. In other words, the Corinthians had heard this before. They were already on board. Verse 2, for I know your eagerness to help and have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter will not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as you said, you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, to say nothing about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for this generous gift that you promised, then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Now, we've already mentioned that Paul seems to be a little concerned and anxious about the church here, and he's a little anxious about this offering from the Corinthians. He's worried that he will show up in Corinth and find that they have not actually collected the offering that they promised to do a year before. So why did Paul have such a concern? Well, Paul may have been worried that the Corinthians would do what some believers sometimes do. He was worried that maybe they would be withholding their financial support because their attitude about Paul had changed, or because they, from the very beginning, had the wrong motive for giving to this offering. Let me explain. Yes, a year ago, the believers in Corinth were indeed eager to give, and they had promised to give. They had promised to give a sizable amount, but maybe their attitude has changed. Well, what would cause such a change in attitude? Well, since they first agreed to give to Paul's special project, a few things have happened. First of all, Paul had written the letter of 1 Corinthians. And if you remember from that letter, we did a thorough study of that letter last time, it seemed to be a bit frank about many of the problems that were in this church. And Paul was telling the believers there at Corinth that many of these problems were a result of their spiritual pride, their spiritual immaturity. And I can imagine that some people would be a little bit offended by such frankness, and they would decide not to give to this cause any longer. Why? Well, again, it's because of their spiritual immaturity. Also, since the time that they had first agreed to give, we had the whole issue with the Judaizers coming to the city of Corinth and beginning to question Paul's authority and question Paul's legitimacy as a true apostle of Christ. And it seems, as we've talked about, that some in the church of Corinth kind of got drawn into that and kind of became part of that. And there seemed to be a bit of an open defiance of Paul there in the city. That's what prompted Paul to write that severe letter between 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So in light of all this, in light of the attack by the Judaizers, in light of the severe letter that Paul had to send, the thought is that there is a continuing undermining of Paul's influence in the church, and thus it could have affected the people's willingness to give. That's the worry that Paul has sometimes. Again, some people will stop giving to the work of the Lord as a way maybe to get their own way, to get even, to retaliate because they're not happy about something. It also speaks to the motive of our giving to the Lord. Some people sometimes forget that our giving is indeed giving to the Lord. And instead, they start viewing their giving as giving to this particular church or that particular church. Maybe this cause or that cause. Maybe it's their way of supporting this pastor or that pastor. But the problem is, when we start doing that, we are losing the mindset that our giving is giving to the Lord and giving to the work of the Lord. If we start viewing our giving as a way of showing support or lack of support for a particular pastor or a church or a cause, then our giving ceases to be giving to the Lord. And it becomes our way to get our way to show support or lack of support, maybe our way of wielding a little bit of power. So Paul knew this could be a tendency among some. And so Paul wanted to know, had the Corinthians, who so eagerly gave a year or eagerly agreed to give a year ago, were they viewing this as indeed as a work of the Lord? Paul was wondering whether or not the enthusiasm for giving had waned because the church was having a few issues with Paul and maybe troubled about these things. Yes, Titus had met Paul in Macedonia, and he told Paul that everything seemed to be good between Paul and the church. But that could just be talk from Paul's perspective. What Paul wanted to know is whether that talk really would be matched with the proof of their love. Whether the initialness to give would be matched by the completion of it. In the back of Paul's mind was this desire to know that the believers in Corinth would follow through in this collection and that their initial eagerness and willingness would be matched by the completion of it. Let's look again at verses 3 and 4. Paul says, I am sending the brothers, that is, he's sending Titus and this other group of people. I'm sending the brothers ahead in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, to say nothing about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. Remember that Paul had been sharing with the Macedonians that the Corinthian believers were so eager to give and had shared with the Macedonians the willingness of the Corinthians to give. The Macedonians got on board and were likewise enthusiastic. It would be a bit embarrassing to Paul and to the Corinthians if the group does show up in Corinth and finds that the Corinthians had basically changed their mind and that they weren't doing that anymore. Well, did the Corinthians in the end give to this gift? Well, there really is no indication that they did not. In fact, as you look in the book of Acts, we discover that Paul does continue on to the city of Corinth. at the end of his third missionary journey. He spends the winter there in Corinth, and this is where he writes the book of Romans, telling the believers in Rome that he will be coming to Rome after he has delivered this offering to Jerusalem. When the weather clears up, making travel safe again, Paul and this group of representatives, maybe now even a representative from Corinth joining the group, they indeed head to Jerusalem. The offering is delivered to the church of Jerusalem. It seems to be well received, according to the book of Acts. It was a successful project, and it helped do what Paul wanted this offering to do. It helped to bind together the Gentile churches and the Jerusalem churches in order to show that we are all one in Christ. Paul has shared this offering, built up this offering as a wonderful way for the believers to show generosity, to give back, just as God gave to us to give back to others. And so as we, as a Gentile church, as a church that is part of God's ever-growing people, we want to likewise look for opportunities to be generous, to follow the principles laid out for us by the Apostle Paul, to give unto others what God has given unto us, so that we can be part of this wonderful work of grace that Paul is laying out here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. As we just consider the giving to this special project, we would also want to just think about our own lives and how we give, and how we are to give with a cheerful heart, how we're to give with a spirit of generosity, looking for opportunities to bless others around us with the things that you have blessed us with. As we gather around the table now as a church, help us to reflect and to remember that we're gathering around the gift of your Son, Jesus. He became poor so that we could become rich. And Father, help us to share that richness and share that message of the gospel with other people as a way of continuing on the things that you have called us to do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.